As you're seated this morning, can we give God a hand clap of praise? He is worthy. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, let's pray. Father, we love you. You are great among us, and God, I pray your guidance in our hearts. I pray your strength within our lives, and Father, I just, as we approach this special time of year that we celebrate, above everything else, your resurrection. And God, I just pray that in every life in this room today for resurrection. I pray your strength within us and your joy that manifests itself as the source of our strength. I pray that every heart, every person in this room can surrender to you so we walk in that joy. Bless this word, strengthen us by it. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. For the past several weeks, we've talked a lot about life, the life that God wants us to live, and the one that he wants all of his followers to experience. And he don't just want us to experience that life, he wants us to experience that life now. The eternity that we are headed to is the afterlife. But I want to talk to you about the life that God wants us to walk in now and how we can obtain this incredible life from our awesome Creator. If you got your Bibles, we're going to go back through some scripture we did last week. If you'll turn with me to James chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 14 this morning. And I want to take our time as we walk through this passage of Scripture. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? We are not a people that surrendered to Jesus that lives by the works we do. Amen. It ain't what we do at the church each week. It's not what we do at special events each week that creates in us the happiness and the peace and the joy that God wants us to walk in. He goes on to say, can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? I think for a lot of us in the evangelical and in the Christian community, we want each other to be blessed. But how hard is it for you to engage somebody as a believer, as a Christian, and pray for them and bless them? And we say this all the time, I'll be praying for you. But how often do we take the time, stop, and pray for them? This is something that the Spirit of God will work in us and burn. It's like being branded with a hot iron when God really gets a hold of our hearts as individuals that creates that. It's not about a religious doing that we do, but it's what God begins to work in each and every one of us that creates that heart in us, that God would lead us to pray for somebody in a moment of, whether it's extreme or whether it's, you may look at it as minor, it's God that creates that. We think, well, I don't know if I should do that. But I'm telling you, when God starts burning that in your soul, we can't help but to reach out to somebody and pray for them the way God would have us to respond to them. Because what does it profit if we can't truly love people? We say I'm praying for you, but how many times do we really go and even pray for somebody? He said, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And what we walk up wind up walking in is a dead life. We're not bringing life to our brothers and sisters and to us as a body of believers, because we're too much in ourselves to share the hope that Jesus wants us to share with them. But watch what he says here in verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you your faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? See, it's God that creates in us the heart to respond to people in a spiritual manner. It is God that drives us by his Spirit to respond in the Spirit. It's not the knowledge that we walk in and something it shouldn't be cumbersome for us as God's children. Amen? It shouldn't be cumbersome for me to pray for somebody or to try to meet a need in a brother or sister. But watch in verse 21. He said, was Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. What Abraham done when he went to offer up Isaac, God asked him, would he to offer up his son? And Isaac went in faith and in obedience to God. Abraham took Isaac, bound him, laid him on the altar, draws back to slay his son. An angel of the Lord appeared before him and told him to stop. And he provided a ram and had him caught in the vines. What was it that God wanted to see? Abraham's faith. And Abraham's faith manifests itself. And what is his faith? Faith is what we believe in. We all showed up here this morning in faith that at 10 o'clock we're going to have a service. Amen? But when faith, we know that's what's going to happen. We know we're going to sing some songs. And I think we get so programmed to what we do that we really miss what God is asking of us. What Abraham did that day was walk in faith, and he loved his son Isaac. He didn't want to do what God had asked him to do, but his love for God created his obedience to go on and do this. Let's watch on in verse 22. He said, do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, and that's where I want to stop right there. And I want to show you, me and Miss Diana worked on some slides, and here's what I want to show you. We want to have this incredible faith for God, and we see it somewhere out in front of us, up the steps, and how do I get there? You know, when I was younger in my life, I could run at a thing like this and jump from the bottom and probably hit the fourth step up here. You didn't see me try that this morning, did you? No. The problem is, in our faith walk, we want to skip steps. So in order for us to obtain faith, it takes us walking in a life of obedience. Abraham went and offered Isaac because God had asked him to, but he done that in faith, and he didn't skip the steps that God was requiring of him. What God said is, offer up Isaac. And in faith, he goes to the full extent of what God had asked him to do, and he didn't skip the steps. But here's what happens in our culture. A lot of people says, I'm of the Baptist faith. I'm of the Methodist faith. I'm of the Catholic faith. And if this is your faith, what kind of renewed life are you living in? See, that's what God does, is bring us new life. God wants us to experience his life now. When we surrender to Jesus, the Bible tells us in Corinthians that old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. The old person of who we used to be, and I'm going to get way ahead of myself right here, we can't be who God wants us to be and who we want to be at the same time. I want to say that again. We cannot be who we want to be and who God wants us to be at the same time. It's impossible. And skipping steps don't take us to the place of faith. We have to walk out a life of obedience in order that our faith is built in our life. I can't just say I have faith. Faith is built in us by the Spirit of Almighty God. And faith is what you believe in. What do we believe? I believe there's a God. I believe there's a higher power. I believe there's this. I believe there's that. But when we truly believe in Jesus and what Jesus has done, you want me to tell you what happens? We live a surrendered life to his authority, and we're no longer trying to do it our way anymore. We walk out God's purpose in our individual lives because we have experienced and come to know him by faith through obedience. What kind of renewed life are you living? To many American Christians, we trust in and believe in the institution of religion and never walk in the resurrected life of Jesus. You know what that creates? Personal authority in the church. More people go to church mad than they do glad because things don't happen my way. And that's not a faith at all. That is a institutional faith, but the Spirit of Almighty God renews us day by day. He renews us in our life. In fact, if you look over here in James chapter 4, verse 7, listen to what he says right here. He says, therefore submit to God, resist, and the word resist means to stand against. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. God is not the one moving. God is already established where he is, and God wants you to come to where he is. That means I leave behind this world. I leave behind my ways. I leave behind my thought process, and I begin to follow the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. He says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. What is he saying here? Take the right steps to walk in my fullness. We can't just claim it. We don't just claim it and say we're doing and then don't do. When Jesus came to this earth, and we're going to be getting in that a lot here in the next couple of weeks, he was always tested and tried by the religious community, the institution of religion, wound up crucifying the King of Glory. And Jesus would tell them, I did not come to do my will, but I came to do the will of the Father who sent me. He took the right steps. He was taking the right steps. For 3.5 years, he told them, I'll be delivered in the hands of sinful men, and I'm going to be crucified, but on the third day I'll rise again. For 3.5 years, he preached this. He taught it. He said it over and over. You read it through the four Gospels. He said it over and over, but then when it came time for him to go to that cross and do what God had asked him to do, he had to go to a place and pray and weep and mourn before God. And the Bible says that he became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. He had to learn, he had to take the right steps. to obtain the faith that God was leading him to, because what was his faith in? His faith was in what God had sent him to do. You know, God is sending us on this earth as believers in his kingdom. God is sending us to serve humanity. Amen. That's what we are here for. We are here to serve our community. We are here to serve each other as brothers and sisters. God has brought us here. He is doing a work in our life. He don't want us cheating the steps. He don't want us running like we were when we were 20 years old and maybe even hop all the way up to the top. God wants us to take the right steps, because if we don't take the right steps, when things start happening in your life and the storm comes and the earthquakes come and things come that shake you and rattle you and the adversity is surrounding you and your family, when all of these things start happening and our faith has not been built step by step by the being led by the Spirit of Almighty God, it's easy to give up. And that's no faith at all. It's easy to throw in the towel. It's easy when nobody's looking to do the wrong things. It's easy, well, nobody knows what I do here. Nobody knows what I do there. I've got that hid. Let me tell you something. The reason you can't walk and praise God and pray for other people is because of the things that you and your Heavenly Father know that's going on in your life. And I'll say it again. You can't be who you want to be and who God wants you to be at the same time. It is by faith. It is through obedience that leads us to faith. And here's where we'll go to the second slide. Right here. It starts through obedience. Faith can only be built through a life of obedience. It's the only way we can obtain that faith. Why do you say that? Because when you start overcoming, when he leads you to be an overcomer, when he directs your life and you overcome this obstacle and you overcome another obstacle, you've done it by being obedient to what God is leading you to. And I go back to this one all the time. This is my testimony, and nobody can ever take it away from me. I couldn't read a lick, got out of high school with a third grade reading education. And that's in paperwork. But then God, with my walk with him, the Lord started leading me to read. And giving me the ability to read, supernatural things starts happening in your life through obedience. And that creates your faith. Amen? Are y'all picking up what I'm laying down here this morning? Somebody say amen. Amen. When we take the right steps, we'll learn not to skip any of them. When Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego had to go through the fire, they wasn't looking for a step to skip. In fact, the king had even commanded them, okay, if you don't do this, here's what we're going to do to you. And they said, no. What had built that kind of obedience of those of the three Hebrew children, what built that kind of obedience in their life? What built that kind of faith in their life that they could trust God and God will see us through? But if he don't, O king, we are not going to bow down and worship your graven images. And God delivered them from the fiery furnace. James 4 and 17, this is what he said. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. When we don't walk in obedience, when we won't live that life of surrender, when we won't live that life of honoring God, when the young man comes to you and he's the waiter at Chili's and the Lord says, ask him how you can pray for him today. And he went and got our drinks, and he come back, and the Lord said that to me again. Asked him how you can pray for him today. And by my table, he stands there and just dumps a whole truckload of stuff to pray for. And I just said, hey, well, come on, we're going to pray right now. We're going to pray right now, because if God is doing that thing and a young man will open up like that at work, what's God doing? things we can't see, folks. But why? He brought us to serve humanity. And it's by that that we, that our faith is even encouraged. I want to bring you back to this one. And when Lazarus, in John chapter 11, we know about Lazarus. He and Jesus and his sisters were very close. Jesus loved this family. Lazarus dies. I'm going to pick up the story in verse 11. He's in a tomb. He's been laying there for 4 days, and here it goes in verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Listen to what Martha said. Whatever you asked of God, he'll give it to you. Now watch what goes on to happen here. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life." This is what you've got to understand this morning, and this is what I want you to get. Jesus is your resurrection and the life for you now. It is for you now. And Martha has just told Jesus, "I know whatever you ask God, he'll give it to you. I've seen what you do. You've done great miracles. You've caused the blind to see. You've caused the lame to walk. I saw it. It built her faith. And I know whatever you ask God, he'll do it for you." But watch what goes on to happen here. She's doubting in verse 25. And Jesus has to tell her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live again. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? Watch her answer. She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." And when she had jumped to verse 32, and then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Here's what I want every one of y'all to know before I read verse 33. Lord, if you'd been here, God will be everywhere you want him to be. God will be nowhere that you don't want him to be. God will not, he has given you the right to choose. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere all the time. But it's in your situations when we don't cry out to him, when we don't walk in obedience to him, when we don't surrender ourselves to him, when we don't worship him, when we don't glorify him, when we don't magnify him, that we never see the presence of God working outside of our churches. It's because we don't take him with us. We don't allow him in that part of our life. If you're addicted to pornography, it's the reason you're still addicted to pornography and you can't overcome that thing, is it's because you won't allow God to have that closet in your life. When it's alcoholism or drugs or whatever it is, or a boyfriend or a girlfriend on the other side of town that nobody knows about, I'm going to tell you something, friend. God knows about it, and you can't walk. You got to quit skipping the steps and surrender to Almighty God in every area of your life, or you'll never experience the life God has for you now. You'll never experience it. Watch in verse 33, "Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And he said, 'Where have you laid him?' And they said to him, 'Lord, come and see.'" Verse 35, "Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? And then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. I want you to notice that part. Take away the stone. There's some things in your life that God is saying, I want you to quit that. The Lord is leading you. The conviction eats you in your life. This is what we never talk enough about in the Christian community today is conviction. The Holy Spirit should convict us every day. Ain't a week goes by that I don't want the Holy Spirit to be with me and convict me. We need to be experiencing his conviction all the time. He said, take away the stone. He asked them to do that. Did he need them to take away the stone? No. He could do it all by himself, but God is asking us to serve humanity for his kingdom's sake. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time, there is a stench. We can look at people's life and go, yeah, they so messed up. They're so jacked up. They stink. By now, they ain't no hope for them. I'm going to tell you right now, friend, there is hope for every one of you sitting in this room today. What you going to believe in? What you going to believe in? And if you'll start taking the right steps and quit trying to jump them, and just name it, claim it, religion, that don't work. It is a relationship with Jesus that works inside of our hearts. It's a relationship with Jesus that creates a heart in us to pray for others and to love others the way God wants them to be loved. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe? What creates our belief? Seeing the awesomeness of God happening with our eyes. That's what God does. He's a spirit, but when God does things, he does things that we can see, amen? He does things we can see. He said, you would see the glory of God. I'm going to tell y'all this story. I was in Myanmar with our mission, and there was a young man. His name was, and I'm not going to say his name right, but as best as I can say it in my English language, Boucher was his name. And every time the kids would go to playing, Boucher would take off and go to another room. When the kids got to laughing and cutting up, he would go sit by himself, and he was real jaundiced looking. He just looked sick. Well, in Myanmar, they don't have the convenience of just run to the doctor because I don't feel good. They don't have that. And my heart broke for him, and Misa is the only one that can speak English with me. And this little kid, I was just drawn to him, and that's kind of how my life works. I'm drawn to the underdog. And through the time being there, and I'd just go get that little kid, and I'd set him in my lap, and he ain't understanding a word I was saying, but I was talking to him. And it was probably 4 days, and my heart was just broke for this kid, and I just held him, and all I could do was weep. And I don't mean I mean weeping. And the Lord said to me, after that moment, the Lord said to me, he is well. And I'm like, okay, I heard that, I felt that. And the Lord said it to me again when he got up and walked away, he is well. The next day, Misai, we were having church that morning at house church, and I go to the house church, and when I walked in there, Misai wasn't there. He sent some folks after me, but when Misai came in the room, he came in with authority, and he came in to me, and he says, yesterday, you pray for him? You pray for him? And I'm going, yeah. He said, what Holy Spirit tell you? And he's asking me this with authority. And now I'm being put on the spot because the Lord said to me in the Spirit, he is well. And Misai says, what the Holy Spirit tell you? And he's pointing at Boucher, and I said, he is well. And I didn't even know the little boy was sick. I could just tell something's wrong. And Misai jumps and whirls, and he's praising the Lord, and he's rejoicing. And I'm sitting here, and I'm like, what? Tell me what? He said, he cough all the time. He cannot play with children because he cough all the time. He said, since you pray for him, he said, he's been running with the kids. He's been playing with the kids. He said, the Holy Spirit has healed him. I want to tell you something today. That little boy is fighting in the people's army. Let me tell you something. To look at Misai when there's a language barrier and to tell him the reluctance that was in. See, we fight our flesh all the time, but I couldn't tell Misai. I don't know. The Holy Spirit didn't tell me nothing, but why do we doubt what God is trying to do in our lives and use us for his glory? See, it's not about you and me, but God wants to indwell us. God wants to fill us, and God wants us like that cup of coffee I've been talking to y'all about for 3 weeks now, spilling out on people. God is wanting to pour out and warm somebody's life that has no hope, that can't see past the end of their nose because life has got them so far down. God wants you to possess the life that he has for you, and the only way to do that is to learn to live a life of obedience, and you'll create the faith in your heart that the Holy Spirit's trying to build in you, and you will begin to bless others. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, give him a hand clap of praise. He is worthy. He is worthy. Now I want you to go on with me here. Did I not say to you in verse 40, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? And then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was laying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who was dead came out, bound hand and foot, with grave cloths on his face, and was wrapped with cloth, and Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Here's what I got to say to some of you today. God is wanting you to be loosed and let go. God is wanting to build your faith, but you're going to have to take a step of obedience. You're going to have to take a step of surrender to the Father because God is wanting your life to be blessed, and he's wanting you to experience a resurrection in your life now. I want you to get that. God is wanting you to be blessed now. I'm going to ask Jared and them to come on. James 4. James 4 and 17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. You got to stop sitting here in this place thinking that I'm not good enough. I've messed up too bad. I got too much going on. I told myself this life for a lot of years. I got a lot of things I got to straighten out. I got a lot of things I got to fix. If you can fix everything in your life, you don't need a Savior. But because everything is messed up in your life, that's why you need a Savior. And it's time for you to recognize that with the grave cloth and all, you may think by now your life stinks and it's rotten, but I'm telling you right now that Jesus is here to bring newness to you. I don't know who you are. but I know the Lord's speaking to somebody. Abraham's obedience to offer Isaac produced God's provision for the true sacrifice that God would use that day. Hebrews 11:6. If you write on this scripture, take it to the Lord, pray over it, pray this to God. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And the only way to get to faith is to learn to walk in a life of obedience. For he who comes to God, and this is where now we're going to get to that part of taking the right steps. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Jeremiah 29:13, he said, you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. It starts in a life and a heart of brokenness. It starts because we recognize I need this Savior. It starts because we know we ain't good enough, but God has provided the Lamb, and His name is Jesus. And as the band begins to play, I'm going to ask y'all to stand with me. Father, today I pray your word would reach our hearts, that we would be stirred to the point. We would be stirred to the point, Lord, that we stop looking for what we've been experiencing. All the brokenness, all the undoneness, all the things we can't fix. It's in the palm of your hand. And God, if I just ask you, if I turn to you, I may be wrapped in grave cloth and needing a resurrection in my life, and God, you have the keys, and you've rose up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And I pray, God, right now in the name of Jesus, that the freedom that somebody in this room is needing to experience can be experienced right now because they choose to be obedient to your conviction. Pray, Lord, as we close this service, that you do the work. You do the work. I've spoke your word by faith, God, and I believe that you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. And I pray for every heart in this room now, God, to seek you, search for you, draw near to you. And in return, you draw near to them. And I give you the praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen.